Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Vinny watched the games from the owner's box. Haney sat with Wild Bill Hagee.
Come on, Ken! Put it in the bullpen!
Vinny and Haney.
Come on, Al! Hit a home run now!
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Devastating loss Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Ravens season done, 27-25 divisional round. Buffalo Bills, they advance to the AFC Championship game where they take on the Kansas City Chiefs for the fourth time in 5 years. Yes, Josh Allen beats them in the regular season. In the postseason, 0-3 against old Patrick Mahomes. So we'll talk about that as the week progresses. NFC, Philly, they'll be hosting Washington, the uninvited guests that are the Commanders. Going to the NFC Championship game, but Ravens lose. A lot of things get into, and we've only scratched the surface of what we're going to do. Joining us now, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's with the Baltimore Sun. He's a friend of the show. He's Childs Walker. Childs, good morning, first of all. How you feeling today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Trying to process that familiar disappointment, just like the rest of us. So I guess we'll get into it.
Now, in regards, we'll get to the particulars of the game here in a second, but we talk about these historic gaffes in Ravens and / Baltimore football history. We talked about Earl Morrill not missing Jimmy Orr wide open down the sideline, Super Bowl III, Cundiff and Lee Evans, maybe the most infamous of them all, which happened in back-to-back plays. As great as Mark Andrews has been for the Ravens, and he's been great. Does he now fall into that category? When we think of Mark Andrews, we don't think of Pro Bowls and 10 touchdown seasons. We think Billy Cundiff. Fair or unfair, but life's not fair, as you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's going to be part of his legacy. I don't think it will be the only line in his legacy. I mean, look, when we think of Lee Evans with the Ravens, that's the only thing we think of, right? I mean, even though Billy Cundiff had a really good year with the Ravens, when we think of Billy Cundiff, that's the thing we think of. I mean, Mark Andrews has done enough wonderful things that, you know, we're going to remember him as a great player too. But that's also what's so awful about this. I mean, especially if you watch Mark Andrews up close day after day, year after year, he cares so much. I mean, he approaches every practice with such passion and intensity. I mean, he's sort of the model guy in the locker room in a lot of ways. I mean, you hear guys like Isaiah Likely talk about how much they look up to him, and, you know, Lamar Jackson has said again and again, that's his security blanket. That's the guy he trusts before anybody else. So for that guy to have those two plays, it's, as you said, it's not fair. Life's not fair. It's just a painful thing to watch.
Yeah, and he didn't block well either, Childs. And then the other pass that Lamar missed him on, it was his fault, too, because the free safety was coming down hard, and Lamar threw it properly, and Andrews didn't adjust to it correctly. So, yeah, I thought Andrews sucked in that game. But to start the game, I thought Buffalo was taking it to him physically.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo, I agree. I mean, it felt to me like Buffalo, certainly their defense, was acutely aware of the talk all week that they were not physically, that they weren't big enough, they weren't tough enough to stand up to this Ravens offensive machine. And I thought they hit really hard and you know, were in very strong up front, especially in the first half. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, you're right, Vinny. I mean, you know, with their running game, they took it at the Ravens, I think, a lot more than anyone anticipated. Ravens came in with the league's best run defense, both per game and per carry. And, you know, Buffalo got close to 100 rushing yards in the first half. And, you know, you could hear in the tone of the Ravens' comments after the game, they didn't expect that. They were disheartened by that. Now, I will say, I mean, the defense did lock down much more in the second half when it needed to give them a chance to come back. So you give them credit for that. But I think that's a fair read on the game, that Buffalo, especially in the first half, took it to them more than they expected. And the Ravens didn't really assert their physicality until the third quarter.
Yeah, and I would say whatever adjustments that the Ravens made, I thought Monken and Zach Orr after halftime, whatever, you know, changing things up, getting their players, you know, mentally ready to play, phenomenal job, because the Ravens dominated that second half, dominated it, you know, and if Andrews doesn't fumble that ball, they're going in to score again. They never punted.
No, I agree with you, Vinny. I mean, you look at the stats from the game, and it's very hard to conclude that the Ravens were not the better, more dynamic team. And it really was. It's hard not to go back and see the Andrews fumble as the play that entirely changed the game and entirely changed the way that we think about the game. Because I agree with you. I mean, it absolutely looked like they were going to go punch the ball in again. And then the narrative easily could have been, well, you know, the Ravens started a little slow, but they came back and imposed their will in the second half, like we've seen them do in other games. And they were on track to do that, but, you know, you can't turn the ball over in the postseason. We've seen them do it again and again. They turned it over three times against the Chiefs last year. And it doesn't matter if you're the best team. If you make those mistakes, it just kills you.
I thought if Todd Monken could have one play back, it would be the second down and goal when he threw it instead of giving it to Henry, because they were playing pass and nobody was open, you know, and Henry probably walks in. So they guessed right, and, you know, it made Todd look bad on that one, I think.
Yeah, I know that was a play that was, I think, probably one of the more frustrating ones for fans. Now, Buffalo did stonewall Henry on
the first one.
On first down. So, you know, you understand Monken looking to mix it up. I mean, Lamar has been incredible in the red zone all year, right? I mean, his judgment, when to extend plays, I mean, his accuracy, not turning the ball over. I mean, he's been as good as you can be in the red zone. So I didn't take huge issue with putting the ball in his hands in that situation and asking him to make a play. Look, it didn't work out. I mean, you know, if you're going to second guess moments from the game, that's one of them.
Charles Walker, Baltimore Sun, joining us here, Vinny, at 81.057. The Fan. Ravens season is over, losing to the Bills 27-25. Now it's open locker room, 1 o'clock. The Hefties get packed up with stuff. Some of these guys will never be back in one winning drive. Probably won't hear from Lamar again until minicamp, I guess. So, Charles, as they hit this offseason a couple of weeks sooner than they had hoped, how different will the team look? They have the 27th pick in the draft. We know that. So moving forward, what's going to be happening with the offseason? The most pressing issue will be what?
Yeah, I do think the team will look pretty similar coming mm-hmm. back next year. I mean, you know, obviously if Monken gets one of these jobs that he's a candidate for, that immediately becomes the most pressing issue of the offseason, because he's been so good, has really helped Lamar take it to another level over the last 2 years. You know, do you look to continuity with T. Martin, who we know gets along with Lamar so well and has also been so helpful to him? That would be a possibility, but, you know, you probably also look outside the building to some degree, and it's not clear who that would be. So, I mean, that would immediately become the most pressing issue if that happens. It might not happen. In terms of the players, I mean, almost all of their most important players are under contract for next year. Does that necessarily mean they'll all be back? No. Probably the biggest free agent is Ronnie Stanley. They're going to have to make a choice there. He was healthy this year. I thought he played well last night.
Yep.
You know, are you able to reach some sort of relatively short-term, relatively modest agreement with him? Or does the fact that there's such a scarcity of above-average starting left tackles mean that he gets paid and that the Ravens are outbid? Certainly could mean that. I mean, I don't think Ronnie's going to take a hometown discount. So that's an issue, you know, or do they decide to continue to go young on the offensive line? That's something they're going to have to sort out. They need another cornerback. You know, they're going to need to draft
Stevens a needs to go. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to draft a tackle, you know, one way or another. So they continue the youth movement there. So those are some positions that they're going to be looking at. But really, I mean, the main guys are probably going to be the main guys again next year. So we'll they just got to keep chipping away at it, right? I mean, what else is there to say?
Breaking news, Ronnie Stanley's going to sign with the Dodgers, apparently, this offseason. Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun. Childs, the Window Nation guest hotline. Childs, we appreciate it. Have fun out there. One winning drive. At least as much fun as you can have, which is certainly a disappointing day out there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I'll bring my own garbage bag.
There you go, dude. Childs Walker, it's Vinny at 80-105-7. The Fan Whip Around coming up next. What happened in the world of sports last night and historically, we'll get you covered there. And then Jared Dubin, NFL, CBS. We'll talk about the other games outside of the Ravens. We will get to your phone calls, 11:45. But how about those Commanders? For the first time since 1991, going to the NFC Championship game against the familiar foe, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Vinny and Haney. Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around here on this devastating loss Monday for the Ravens anyway. Season comes to an end in the postseason when you were favored, had a chance to tie it, and your all-pro tight end drops the ball. It's a devastating loss. I'm not overstating it. No hyperbole here. I think it's kind of an appropriate thing. We'll get back to that here in a second. But men's college basketball yesterday on the Fan. Terps taking on Nebraska. Hey, they're up 9 with about 5 minutes left. All of a sudden, they can't score. And Nebraska ties the game. And Jacoby Gillespie said, enough of this nonsense.
Now to Derek Queen. Outside the arc. Gillespie sees it open. He goes inside.
Nice. Flips it up with the right hand and got it.
Good execution.
22 points for Jacoby Gillespie. Was burying them threes. He got a beautiful jump shot. Nolan, that rainbow three. Looks like a young Bob Haney out there in the backyard. Or an old Bob Haney on his 8.5-foot rim out there in Glen Burn.
Hey, when he's on, it's beautiful, and they needed it.
Well, thank you, because, my jumper is pretty. Oh, you're talking about Jacoby Gillespie. Is that what we're saying here?
The guys who play the game.
So Maryland wins 69-66 as they'll get ready for Illinois on Thursday night there. We'll get to Illinois here in a second. Gillespie's basket, by the way, 40 seconds left. So that would have been a devastating loss for Maryland, where they're good at home. And you can't be losing to the mayor and Nebraska. Unfortunately for the Cornhuskers, they've lost 4 in a row, most of them of the heartbreaking variety. As we said, Maryland now 14-5, 4-4 in the Big Ten at Illinois Thursday. Speaking of Illinois, yesterday in the Big Ten, they lose at Michigan State 80-78. Entertaining game. Illinois led for most of the first half. They're ranked 19, but the Spartans having an outstanding season after a slow start. 80-78, they get it done. It was number 20 Michigan in overtime over Northwestern. Speaking of teams that lose tough games, so the Wildcats, who beat Maryland, they lose an OT against Michigan. There was an upset in the top 25 last night. It's TCU. They hit a 3 of the buzzer to stun Baylor on the road. Number 25, Baylor, 74-71. NBA yesterday, it was Sacramento, 123-100 over the Wizards. Domantas Sabonis, 29-18-4 for the Kings. Kevin Herter, former Terp, 3-2-1. Alex Len, 4-4-2. That's points, rebounds, assists for Sacramento. Bob Carrington, both Terps, of course. Bob Carrington, Baltimore, 6-6-3 for the Wiz. They stick.
Oh.
They are bad. In capital B, throw about 4 A's, bad D, exclamation points. They're 6-35.
Oh, Leon's just as happy he's got the hockey team.
1-17.
Woo!
On the road are the Wizards preparing, I guess, for maybe making a run at Cooper Flag. If the ping pong balls their way. Miami beat San Antonio last night, 128-107. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore zone. Archbishop Curley, 2 points, 3 boards there for the Heat. Jimmy Buckets, he's back. 8 points, 3 assists, or 3 rebounds, 7 assists. It was OKC over Brooklyn, 127-101. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 27 for the Thunder. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, 12 points, 3 boards, 5 assists. And Portland beat Chicago. Bulls are becoming somewhat hapless. Portland, who is hapless, 113-102 sticks for the Bulls. Jalen Smith, Maryland, Mount St. Joe, Baltimore, 7 points, 3 rebounds there. You had Tanner Scott signed with the Dodgers, former Oriole, 4 years, $72 million, $20 million signing bonus, $21 million deferred. Just, all right, whatever.
Jeez.
They got Sasaki over the weekend. Just go do your thing, LA. It is what it is. National championship game tonight, college football. the first ever 12-team playoff comes to an end a month after it started with Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Atlanta. The Buckeyes, 8.5 points, 7:30 kickoff.
Yep, it's going to be it'll be fun, Bob. I just hope that it's a good game because there is a blowout potential.
Ricky Waters, former Notre Dame legend and 49er world champ, he'll be joining us at 1:30 to preview said matchup. And I'm guessing Notre Dame guy, he hates Ohio State, even though Freeman's the coach of Notre Dame. No, Freeman's Ohio State guy coaches Notre Dame.
I would say that Rick's all big-time Notre Dame, Harrisburg, PA guy. Yeah, he'll be and he was a freshman when we won the national championship.
So screwed Ohio State, no doubt, is what going on here. It's the whip around here on this devastating loss Monday for the Ravens anyway. It's January 20th. How about some wins coming your way, everybody? College Hoops, Maryland, 1980 Super Bowl Sunday. Chapel Hill, Old Carmichael Auditorium. Maryland upsets number 9 North Carolina, 92-86. Albert King on his way to ACC Player of the Year, 28 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. Buck Williams had 19. Baltimore's own Ernie Graham, 17. Greg Manning at 16. Terps shot 67%. I watched this game. True story, I don't lie. 67% from the field. The one thing I remember about this game, other than Maryland winning, and I hated North Carolina then, James Worthy broke his leg in the second half, who was just a freshman on that team. 2002, Cole Fieldhouse, third-ranked Terps, eventual national champs, beat Clemson 99-90. Juan Dixon, Baltimore at 21. Lonnie Baxter had won at 24. Lonnie at 21. Chris Wilcox, 17 points, 14 rebounds for the Turtles there. Let's see here. Speaking of that Super Bowl 1980, it was Super Bowl 14 at the Rose Bowl. Steelers beat the Rams 31-19. Terry Bradshaw, most valuable player, again. 4-0 in Super Bowls was Bradshaw. It is what it is. CBS on the call. Pat Summerall, Tom Brookshire. 76 million people watched that game. 46.3 Nielsen rating. Halftime, up with people. National anthem, Cheryl Ladd.
Oh.
One of the Charlie's Angels.
Yes, she was.
Very, very beautiful woman. And then 1985 at Stanford Stadium, Super Bowl 19, San Francisco beat Miami 38-16. Joe Montana was most valuable player. The halftime was the Air Force Tops in blue doing the World of Children's Dreams. Let's see here.
And Bomber caught a touchdown pass in that one.
For Miami.
Yeah.
And getting blown out. Let's see. San Francisco Boys and Girls Choirs did the, national anthem here. 85 million people watched that game. But, you know, San Francisco was 3.5-point favorites. Wait, has the halftime entertainment changed, Nolan, or what?
Oh, boy.
Who's doing halftime this year? Kendrick Lamar?
Right. I was going to say, were people bickering back then when they didn't get selected? Was it a whole argument? Oh, it should have been so-and-so. It should have been...
Now, halftime of the Super Bowl was, let's go take a whiz.
Has it always been 30 minutes, Bob? Even back then, I can't remember.
I think it's changed. Yeah, it's become more of an epic extravaganza, which, in my opinion, may affect the way that the players go at it. But it is what it is. But San Francisco, that was their second Super Bowl win with Bill Walsh there. And then Ravens history on this day, 2013, Foxborough AFC Championship game. Old Jolton Joe Flacco doing some Joe Flacco stuff.
Second and goal. Ravens trying to take it in, take the lead. Flacco throws. Got his man. Pitta for a touchdown. Pitta scored a touchdown against the Patriots in September. Scored against them last year in the AFC Championship game. And he's in the end zone again tonight.
That was CBS Jim Nantz on the call. Didn't seem overly excited about that touchdown,
no,
did he?
No, he did not.
I was like, oh, we bumming you out there, sports friends over there. But Ravens 28-13. Joe Flacco, 3 touchdown passes. That one to Dennis Pitta, 2 to Anquan Boldin. Ray Rice rushed for a TD. Remember, it was old our buddy Bernard Pollard made that big old hit on Falk, forced that fumble. The Ravens went in, took control of the game. So 28-13, that game happened 12 years ago. Today in Foxborough. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens this year, their season's over. They lose in Buffalo. Jared Dubin joining us next. Talk about that and more of the divisional round from CBS Sports. And then we'll get back to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Ravens season's over. A lot of you are running hot, and we understand why.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan.
don't go anywhere else.
Big and Haiti 105.7 The Fan here on this total devastation, disappointing loss Monday. Yeah, I'm bringing add more words to it. Ravens season came to an end last night in Buffalo, 27-25. As you would expect, we've been talking about it. First hour and a half of the show, Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. But the divisional round is over. Championship games are set. And here to talk about all of that and more from CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. So welcome back to the show, Jared Dubin. Jared, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. And as you would expect, we've been, you know, kind of talking Ravens a little bit. And we'll get your thoughts on that game last night here in a second. But Detroit, 2 weeks ago, Minnesota, Detroit were playing for the number one seed in the NFC. Now they're both home for the holidays, watching Philadelphia and Washington get it on. And for the Lions, I mean, Goff was brutal. He probably played concussed for most of the game, you know what I'm saying, because he took that big hit on one of his picks. But the injuries, did it eventually become too much to overcome for Dan Campbell's crew, or did Washington just ambush him and they had no answers for it?
I think it's a little bit of both. Detroit, obviously, throughout, especially the second half of the season, was basically hemorrhaging bodies on the defensive side of the ball. I think I saw something yesterday. They had, like, four defensive starters left, and one of them, Terrion Arnold, was just coming back for this past game. For this past game. And then Amik Robertson, who had been starting on the opposite side, goes out on, like, the third or fourth play of the game, I think it was. The pass rush, you had, you know, a bunch of the best pass rushers on the team go down, and I think eventually it was just sort of too much to overcome. But I also think that Washington had a really good plan, you know, especially with the amount that Detroit was blitzing to try to overcome the lack of pass rush and sort of trusting the defensive backs, who were the better unit because of all the injury attrition up front. And the way that Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury were able to beat the blitzes and beat man coverage was just really impressive.
Now, Jared, as we preview a little bit the NFC Championship game, Jalen Hurts was sacked 8 times yesterday by the Rams. Can Washington at least generate some level of pressure there? Because they've already played twice. The second game was that epic game down at Landover. But do the Commanders have what it takes to make things interesting and maybe uncomfortable for Jalen Hurts? Maybe the weather had something to do with it, the way the Rams did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they have a, you know, Jared Verse-style player who could just totally wreck the game. I mean, what he was able to do against Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, one of the best tackle duos in the NFL, was just absolutely insane. And for me to say that means a lot because he went to Florida State, and if you ask me, everyone who went there is a bad person. So it's just the way he was able to play in that game was just absolutely unbelievable. And yet, I agree, the weather probably had something to do with that. I don't think Washington's pass rush is as good. I think you saw Darnell Armstrong have a really good game. He made what to me was the biggest play of the game, was stripping Jared Goff when it was 7-3 Lions and they were back in the red zone trying to take a 2-score lead. That was, to me, arguably the biggest play of the game, sort of swung the game the rest of the way, even though Washington didn't score on the next drive. Not going down by 2 scores was huge in that moment. And I just don't know if you can get that same kind of dominating performance that they got from the Rams front.
Now, in the AFC championship game, do you think Mahomes just Kelce like turns it up or whatever he does in the playoffs, he does a lot more than he does during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said this on this show before. I'm not picking against those guys until they lose to somebody. Like, I will just not pick against Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce until somebody actually knocks them off. So I know I'm writing our AFC Championship preview later in the week, and it's going to be all about how the Bills have all these different kinds of advantages in certain places, and I'm not picking them anyway.
Yeah, I wish – well, let's go to the Ravens and the Buffalo game. I mean, I thought – first half, I thought the Buffalo was the more physical team. Second half, I thought the Ravens dominated both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you saw in the first half, I think that the way Buffalo defended the run in the first half was one of the keys to the game. Derrick Henry, I believe, had 8 carries for 21 yards at halftime. And obviously, like, the 2 turnovers, the interception is one thing. Like, you have a little bit of a miscommunication with Lamar throwing the corner route up the field and Rashad Bateman sort of breaking it off to the sideline. That happens every once in a while. Probably a throw that maybe shouldn't be made just based on the fact that you do have coverage over the top. But every once in a while, you have a miscommunication. The fumble was significantly worse to me. Like, you can't be trying to handle the ball with one hand. That said, like, it's two plays in a game with over 100-something plays. I thought, other than that, like, I keep talking to people about this morning. It's like Lamar played a really, really good game and also had two turnovers that may have cost the team the game, you know, even in addition to all the various issues with Mark Andrews with, you know, the fumble and then obviously the drop two-point conversion. And then even before Lamar's fumble, he had a drop that would have been a first down. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews did that sort of hit him in both hands. You never want to boil down playoff games, especially to one or two plays. But, you know, you look at the various mistakes that the Ravens made, and it's hard not to single out those four, five, six plays and say, like, you know, this is why they lost the game. They made four or five more mistakes than Buffalo did.
Who do you think's going to the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs. You know, I picked them before the season. I picked them when we had our, you know, we redid our picks at the halfway mark. I picked them each of the last 3 years. Probably pick them next year unless somebody beats them in these next two games. And then I think the Eagles, just the way they are able to sort of constrict games by clamping down on big plays for the opponent in the passing game, and then just sort of the way they run the ball and are able to have these drives that go like 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes, it's just so much for opposing teams to overcome. Eventually, there's so much talent there that it's really hard to beat them, even if they don't play their best game. I wouldn't put it past Jaden Daniels. He obviously already beat them earlier in the year, but I'm probably leaning toward Philly at this point.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jared, last thing for you. Getting back to last night's game, Baltimore-Buffalo. Where do you fall with these legacy games, air quotes, where Lamar for his legacy needs it, Josh Allen for his legacy needs it? Since he advances, does Josh Allen need to beat Patrick Mahomes this coming Sunday night to cement whatever legacy he may or may not have at this stage of his career? You know, they're 7 years in. It seems like they were just drafted yesterday, both guys, Allen and Lamar. But who needs to exercise the Mahomes demon to start getting maybe some more historical perspective here?
Yeah, I think it's really important to remember that these guys are 27, 28 years old. They probably have more than half their careers ahead of them. Like, I saw somebody talking about yesterday, like, you know, what does this game mean for Lamar Jackson's legacy? Peyton Manning was 3 years away from winning his first Super Bowl at this point in his career, where Lamar is right now. Like, we got to keep things in a whole lot more perspective than just, like, you know, it's been 8 playoff games and he's 3-5, so therefore, you know, he's not the kind of quarterback that we think he is. That's just not the way these things should work for me. Like, let's give him the next 10 years of his career and see what happens.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com. Jared, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the championship games, and we'll talk to you before the big game, as they say.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jared.
We don't want to violate any copyright laws. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. News from the Nest coming up, top of the hour. Buy or sell, where's the Monday money? Hopefully counting that today. Well, it's MLK birthday, so the bank's not closed. Yeah. The banks are closed and the market's closed. We got plenty of sports stuff to get into. Look at Vinny's keys. Got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. We'll look back at our picks for this weekend, and we'll pick tonight's championship game. Notre Dame against Ohio State down in Atlanta. And Ricky Waters, he'll be talking about that game with us at 1:30. The Fighting Irish getting 8.5. Kickoff there, Washington and Philly. Third go-around for them. That is the NFC Championship game. And obviously we'll talk about all of those games and more as the week rolls on. Before we get back to the phones, however, let's bring in Nolan McGraw. I haven't really heard much from old Quick Draw there. Nolan, how are you feeling today? You watch the game. You've had basically 2 hours to get the feel of the people. So has that influenced the way that you feel right now, or are you still running hot, disappointment? What's the gauge over there?
No, it was, and even in the moment, it was never anger. Just kind of sitting there in disbelief, jaw on the floor. You know, how did this happen? You know, Mark Andrews, of all people, one of your most reliable, trusted guys of this current era. You know, he's who you go to in the big moment. And when does he ever let the ball go like that on a fumble. And then for the game winner to have it right there in your belly, two hands around it, no defender in sight. It just doesn't happen.
Hasn't that kind of been his playoff MO, though, where he doesn't play as well in the postseason? He had never scored a postseason touchdown until last week against the Steelers.
Right. Well, people are going to bring that out. And I'm not saying
he's
completely
had a lot of drops, too, based on his regular season.
I'm not going to say it's completely irrelevant.
Sure.
But nothing in the past for him in the playoffs came close to what we saw yesterday. If you want to say 2019, you know, that first interception where it kind of
sailed, but a bum ankle.
Right, but, you know, Lamar kind of overthrew it. But that's digging into the past.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You know, yesterday, Lamar didn't play his brand of football. You know, the type of football that he played all year, MVP level, you know, the overthrow, whatever it was on the interception, miscommunication, doesn't matter. That just wasn't Lamar's brand of football this year. All right, no harm, no foul. The defense gets a stop. The fumble, I mean, the funny thing there is how many times this year have we seen Lamar take a situation like that and not only turn it into a positive, turn it into a SportsCenter top 10 dazzling touchdown. You know, game of inches, we always say it. There's your cliche. But, you know, I've seen him pick that ball up and evade the defender and take off for 10-plus yards a bunch of times. He gets, you know, brought down. All right, that's no big deal. But then you fumble. So it was just mistake after mistake after mistake. And the entire second half, at least from my perspective, you know, you're down 11 at the half. I wasn't saying it was over, but my mindset was, well, they got a lot of work to do here. It's an uphill battle. I'm not going to be stunned if they come up short. But to come up short in that fashion, by that outcome with the drops and the Andrews fumble, that I would have never have seen coming.
And Buffalo got the ball for a second half.
Yes,
but they were quickly punting. So that kind of, if the Bills would have went, I've said it to my wife, said Buffalo scores here, this might get ugly. But they were, you know, they were, what, three and out, maybe four and out? Yeah.
And if they scored there, it would have been over.
Well, the thing the Ravens changed was they came after them. They started blitzing more and putting pressure on them. And they kind of disrupted them because they were covering them up, and he had nowhere to throw. And, you know, like Wiggins came free on the one, but they were coming after him.
And, you know, Andrews, this one, you're never going to shake it. You know, there'll be another season. He'll come back. He'll play again. But you'll never be able to get rid of this moment in his head. And that's the terrible part, because he is next to the Lee Evans of the world and the Billy Cundiffs in Ravens lore now. Right or wrong, that's just how it is. But this stings even more than that, not because of the stakes, but because of who it is. You know, if it was some scrub, a role player even, somebody who hasn't been here for a long time, all right, oh, they blame of the game. It's their fault. You move on. They might even get cut. You never have to see him again. Andrews is going to be here. He's been here through thick and thin. Again, he's been one of your most reliable guys. That adds another layer of pain here.
Yeah, and the next time he talks to the media, what do you think he's talking about? What he did in 2022? No, he's going to be talking about what happened in that game against the Buffalo Bills. And even if he would have caught the two-point conversion, he would have semi-redeemed himself for the fumble, because that ties the game.
Right.
Now the onus is flipped back to your offense. And you can say, well, could have did this, should have did that, and all this. Now you've reached to this stage. Well, hey, it's a minute and a half left. We're tied at 27. All right, D, what do you got for us? Let's get it to overtime here.
And he did have a grab earlier in that drive.
Yeah.
Where he was wide open again and, you know, took it down the sideline. After that, I was like, okay, he's back. They went right back to him, you know, said, hey, we still got that confidence in you. That play they drew up specifically for him on the two-point play. You know, no Zay Flowers, no Bateman at that point in the game. He's the guy. It was right there.
Yeah. There have been 72 different angles of the drop, too, including one from inside the football. It's a crazy one. I'm joking. That's not
true. And then you said he didn't talk to the media after.
Well, he didn't.
Yeah.
He just said, you know, I don't know why. I mean, too disappointment. Lamar had his back, though.
Right.
After the game.
I'd imagine he'll speak today.
We have time to get to the phones here.
Yes,
Nolan.
Yes.
Real quick phone call. The news from the Nats. We'll talk to you then. Top of the hour, buy or sell. Look at Vinny's keys. More phone calls. NFL lunch. We'll talk about the other games. It's kind of downplaying the fact that Detroit had the greatest regular season in the history of their franchise. And it ends in a very disappointing fashion against Washington in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1991. By the way, it's a Commanders team that won four games last year. They're 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. Go to Dakota in Abingdon. Dakota, thanks for holding. What's up?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. First off, start with this. You blame coaching. You're an idiot. This is not the game to blame coaching on. There's no reason to overcomplicate this. There's three things to blame. Number three, you can blame the refs. That defensive pass interference call was horrendous on White. In no world is that a defensive pass interference. Number two, you can blame Lamar. There is blame to be placed on Lamar. 100%. He is not without blame. Played a great second half. That fumble changed the game. It's a 10-point swing. Minimum, we get 3 points from a field goal, but instead that fumble led to a touchdown for them. Mm-hmm. And it's pure carelessness is what it was. I get he was trying to make a play. He can't do it. As he said, you just got to go down there. But the number one reason, as we all know, is Mark Andrews. On that drive with the fumble, that was his first drop. It would have been either second and short, or he would have moved the chains again. Bounced right off his helmet. That changes the drive completely. And then, obviously, we get to the fumble where he has it punched out, just free with the ball. Never seen anything like it. Not from him, at least. And then for the two-point conversion, you can't ask for a better ball. He makes $14 million a year. You need to make that play. You can't ask for any more. That's the all-pro tight end, top five tight end in terms of salary in the league, and he goes and drops it. He pisses down his leg, and he's done, and we're done.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Dakota. And it just was a bitter end to what had already been a terrible game for him. I mean, that would have been like, all right, we were talking off the air, baseball. Guy goes 0 for 4, 4 Ks, hits the game-winning homer. You've redeemed yourself.
Yeah.
Like Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn when they bought the scooter instead of the big dog truck there or whatever that was. He would have at least redeemed himself to some level. Instead, just compounded it with like, we're already mad at you. Now we're really, like almost to the point where you can never be forgiven for that miscue in the eyes of some. I'll get over it, but will he get over it? And a lot of fans won't, at least anytime soon.
No, because when people see him, when Baltimore fans see him in Baltimore now in the offseason and stuff, you like he's walking and you like, I know what you're thinking.
Sure. Buckner level stuff, perhaps. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. More phone calls coming up next. News from the Nest style. Count some dough. Oh, wait, that's right. No stock market, but plenty of sports topics for sure. Hey, if you gambled like I did, I didn't win any money, so I lost money. There's a buy or sell. We'll get to Vinny's keys, more calls, NFL lunch. We'll play some highlights from the other games going on in the divisional round. How about Jared Goff almost had his head knocked off his shoulders, no flag. And two Houston defenders ran into each other. And it was 15 yards, roughing the passer.